Gunashish for joining us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. It is being billed as Internet for All, a new federal infrastructure bill that will soon pump about $100 million into Alaska to improve broadband access. Ultimately, Alaska could see more than $2 billion. At a broadband summit in Anchorage, federal officials touted this funding as a once-in-a-generation opportunity to expand broadband service in Alaska. Chris Copley, who is the network architect for Tlingit and Haida, spoke at that gathering yesterday, and he sat in on a panel discussion with a lot of the big players from the state and federal government, including panelists from the National Telecommunications and Information Administration.
The panel I was on was pretty impressive. We had the FCC, the NTIA, the state, and the Alaska Telecom Association. So it was pretty humbling being on that panel, and all I could really do was agree with everything they were saying, because what they were saying was exactly what I wanted to say, which is there's an unprecedented amount of money coming to the states to serve the unserved with broadband. And Alaska has one of the highest population percentages of unserved and underserved and eligible citizens, whether it's income, debt, age. There's all different six or eight different categories of folks that are outlined for digital equity and access to broadband.
I'm just curious, this has been billed as a once in a generation opportunity to expand internet service. Do you think what's before us lives up to the hype?
I do. I'm pretty close to it. And so maybe I'm biased, but the analogy was to power, electricity being brought to homes for the first time, or automobiles, or sewer and water and that sort of thing, where it's being recognized as a utility, and how it is vital for folks broadband to participate in the modern world. For the first time, we're seeing billions of dollars coming to states, Alaska being one of them, to build out broadband infrastructure. So I do think it is a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-generation opportunity.
You were on a panel yesterday speaking, and can you tell us what your message was?
My message is we need to work together to get as much money as we can for broadband into Alaska, because it means jobs, healthcare, education, cultural enrichment, and everything else that broadband brings to people.
When the federal government invited tribes to apply for a chunk of money to develop broadband services, the requests came in five times as much as what was actually being offered to people. So apparently there's going to be quite a bit of cash coming. Is that enough to meet?
No, it is not enough. There's quite a few different Alaska plans out there. The FCC's done one, the state's done one, different groups in Alaska have done one. And the numbers between $6 and $20 billion, depending on where you put those goals, which is more money than is out there for almost the entire United States. So, no, it's a challenge. And I think that's where technology really shines, where we're able to leverage new technology. And I think Alaska's always been a challenge when it comes to look at our Alaska Marine Highway or any of the other infrastructure projects that we've had to do. Sitka, for example, with the hydro dam, we've had to come up with our own solutions that are unique to the Alaska problem.
Do you think, though, that with a broadband infrastructure in place, that might help solve some of the other problems? Because if people are, for example, working from their communities in Southeast Alaska, they're still going to need ferries to come to the mothership, to the mother organization, and things like this, that we might see more of a need to develop this infrastructure.
Again, I'm pretty biased, right? I feel like technology, broadband in particular, can help float all the boats higher and reduce the amount of times we do need to go to the mothership. I, for example, work in Anchorage, and I don't need to come down to Juneau very often. I'm able to work up here, and 10 to 10 things like the broadband summit that was up here in Anchorage. And we have people working in North Carolina, and I don't think they're going to come to Juneau other than to visit family and vacation. Yes, I agree with you that leveraging broadband will help us across the board with everything: healthcare, education, economic development. I'll keep beating on those three legs of the stool.
Well, what were some of the stories you heard at the summit, maybe particularly from tribes, that caught your ear?
I met with a few tribes up there and got in front of a few folks, and I've had the opportunity to visit the different communities in Southeast. And broadband's one thing everybody has their own use and need for, and education came up over and over again. The kids in the schools with COVID being held back years or not being able to attend their classes. I heard one story where someone's daughter was unable to meet the obligations for her college credits because the internet wasn't
robust enough to support that.
Especially with everybody else using it, right? Here, if everybody had to drive to work at the same time, we call it rush hour. Well, what happens when everybody needs to use the internet at once? Kind of similar issues. So reinforcing that infrastructure on what we call the middle mile or the backhaul will help with that, and leveraging technologies in the home with things like caching or optimization.
So, you know, you have been working with a tribe. You're called the architect for their broadband service, one of the architects, I guess. Lincoln and Haida got on the bandwagon early. They were given an exclusive right to develop the mid-range broadband spectrum in parts of Southeast Alaska. And I understand that a company has been formed called TidalNet. What's the status of that? What's going on with TidalNet?
Yeah, thank you for recognizing that, and really want to give props to my leadership on having the vision and foresight to put myself and Luke Johnson on the payroll to help develop this program. When we were hired, it was only the 2.5, which is a wireless spectrum, much like your cell phone uses or other technologies. And we were awarded that throughout Southeast Alaska, and we are working with our tribal partners, the local tribes, on helping to defend that, because it's a use it or lose it type situation. Where so Tidal Network was formed to defend that 2.5, and we have started building out in Wrangell. It is, of course, with the challenges of supply chain and, you know, rising cost of everything and that sort of thing has been challenging, but nothing we are surprised about. We're just moving a little bit slower than we are maybe used to. So we did get in early on that and are developing in Wrangell. And we've actually started the design phase in Sitka. We're partnered with Sitka Tribe of Alaska and super excited for that partnership to help defend their 2.5 and build that out. And we'll be providing a fixed wireless solution to end users that are unserved or underserved where they are with inexpensive, uncapped broadband.
Well, Sitka is home for you, right? That's where you grew up. So how do you see this benefiting Sitka? Because Sitka always seems to be a community that struggles. It's not quite on the airline path. So it has to work hard to get independent travelers. You know, it has many opportunities, great beauty, but yet it seems like there are some things that are holding it back.
Yeah, that's a great point. And again, pretty biased being from Sitka and growing up there. Our other architect, our systems architect, Luke Johnson, does live in Sitka. So I think by providing access to broadband, and Sitka, by the way, has an amazing middle mile. Shout out to GCI for doing a great job on providing that and ACS providing great service there. So Sitka traditionally has been pretty well served, but not everywhere towards Stargavin and not out towards the end of the road. And so we're looking at extending that footprint in Sitka to provide, to leverage the existing broadband that is brought into the community and expanding that footprint to more people. Half of our program is not just getting broadband to people's homes. It's helping them use it once they get it, helping them get a microphone or work with their settings so that their video or audio is prioritized over their five-year-old watching Bluey on streaming. So that's one thing we're excited to do, and to work with the different organizations and community members in those seven different groups to help with equity, which is to help bring everybody up to a certain plane of digital literacy.
So where do you see this boost that communities like Sitka and Wrangell and eventually more communities in Southeast Alaska getting? Where do you see it leading? How do you think that it will help those communities make progress in some key areas?
So again, I'm gonna hit on my stool there, the healthcare, education, and economic development. And CERCH has done a phenomenal job and been a real leader when it comes to telemedicine. I worked there 10 years ago, and they were at the forefront of telehealth, and they've only expanded that program. And telehealth doesn't do you any good if you don't have access to broadband. Telehealth doesn't do you any good if you have access to broadband and you don't know how to use it, or you don't have the tools to use it, whether it's video so the doctor can see what he needs to see or hear what he needs to hear, or she. And then certainly education and the two-way education where we can share our culture with the world, whether it's Tommy Joseph carving or Shirley Kimball and her language program. The economic piece, I think, is pretty obvious, but you see all these food trucks and micro vendors, farmers market type vendors. When I was there last, there was a market where they shut down Lincoln Street, and I was able to buy earrings for my wife with my credit card in the middle of Lincoln Street. And so I think things like that are the future. And about buying crab off the fishing boat and being able to leverage Apple Pay or what have you.
To me, that's just such an application you wouldn't even think of, that especially with tourism, that you would want to be able to have internet, to be able to bill people, collect money, send receipts wherever you may be. And so you've got to have access to internet right out in the middle of the streets.
Right. Who carries cash anymore, especially out off the deep water dock there?
And I know that throughout rural Alaska, banking has always been a problem, access to banks, and especially in Southwest Alaska, in the Northwest parts of the state. I've heard stories about how people will get a check from somebody and sign the back of it and use it to pay a bill, and another person will use that check to pay a bill from somebody, and maybe a long time before that check works its way through the bank. But you hear stories about people having challenges with access to the financial world. How about Southeast Alaska? Do you think that improving broadband service will help with that?
Certainly. I think anytime you provide access to things, it increases utilization and optimization, adoption and use. To me, that's a big part of the education piece, where I know I have folks in my family circle that aren't comfortable using online banking, when it probably is more secure than using that check. And so
I would say so.
So again, that's that 50% piece of the program of getting people comfortable with the technology, not just access to it.
So when you look at improving broadband access in rural Alaska, Southeast Alaska, and as far as the hardware, the infrastructure, what are the challenges here? Are they much more than other places because we basically have a lot of islands surrounded by water and communities on coastlines?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. And everybody likes to brag on how hard it is, right? Depending on where they're from, whether they're dealing with a tundra or a moving river or mountains and that sort of thing. And being in an archipelago is a challenge. Getting underwater fiber optic to the communities is quite a challenge. And traditionally, the radio microwave network has served Southeast Alaska, and some communities do have fiber, some have nothing, and need to lean into low Earth orbit satellites, which is super exciting stuff. It's really, truly revolutionary, transformative technology. And we're going to be able to leverage that into some communities that previously didn't have the required economic forces to deliver fiber optic to their island or city or village. With the new technology out there, with the money that's coming in, I'm maybe naive, but I do believe that, you know, the more money we spend on something, the more competition, the more people, the more investment that you're going to see from the people. I know that AT&T down on the south side there is working very hard to bring fiber optic to these communities. The other challenges are permitting, buying land in the right spot, getting steel to build towers, and the supply chain. Finding people to do the work has been a challenge, and continue to acknowledge and deal with those. So
it's going to take a real test of logistics to make the most of this opportunity, is what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, I've been really bulldogging it. What's in front of me, chew on that, and then go on to the next, realizing that it's eating an elephant, as my mother says. You one bite at a time, right?
One bite at a time. So what did you hear at this summit that makes you feel that we are indeed on the precipice of change, of lifetime change?
Well, I believe broadband is transformative. I believe that and technology, and that the more that we leverage that in our personal, professional lives, it pays dividends. So I believe the underlying piece is super important. The fact that you've got Dan Sullivan, Lisa Murkowski, and Mike Dunleavy up there saying the same thing, you've got the FCC acknowledging that Alaska is unique and has challenges, and they were up here and looking at it. You have the NTIA, which is the broadband gurus over in DC, acknowledging that Alaska has a large unserved population and they have money for it. That's not something you've seen before. Again, shout out to the carriers who have been building infrastructure out here for decades and providing service. I know I've seen it come a long way from the 80s and 90s in Sitka, when we had dial-up and that sort of thing, to now with cable modems, I'm 1 gig or 500 meg or what have you, pretty awesome speeds in most of like Sitka, for example.
I had a very interesting experience this week, a kind of interview I had never done before. I interviewed a musician who was on board a cruise ship headed to Sitka, as a matter of fact, and eventually will be in Juneau today to perform. The group is called Eddie from Ohio, and they're coming. But what was so interesting is we did an interview via Zoom. He used the ship's wireless service. And I will tell you that the quality of that was just as good, or maybe even just a tiny bit better than what you and I are using right now. It's possible to get that kind of technology out in the middle of the water.
It is exciting. And that's some of the pieces that I've been talking about. When you talk about satellite, even 2 years, 5 years ago, it was difficult at best, right? I think we all have fishermen friends who have the satellite phone that doesn't really work very well. And yeah, the new technologies that are coming out. And to get extra nerdy here, you're now having software developers really right for a remote high latency, which is how far things are. The example I use is, if you told me 20 years ago that I could use Excel on a phone and not have a keyboard and a mouse, I'd call you a crazy person. And now we can't imagine using an application that does not have a phone, mobile, analog to use with a touchscreen.
So do you think that fishing boats could suddenly, you know, in 10 years from now, use the internet just like you and I do in our living room?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. Yeah. With low Earth orbit satellites and with mesh networking and with the optimization of software that is written for that, instead of being written for being in the office with a wire connecting everything together. Absolutely.
It sounds like the software is the key to help overcome the location, geographical challenges of using broadband. And just in wrapping things up, do you think that having tribes involved in this effort, because prior to this big effort to get the tribes involved, it was pretty much private corporations that developed broadband. And so this is kind of a different journey.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think much like with tribes in Alaska specifically, it is a bit of an experiment. And I think tribes are up to the challenge. And I think that it has planks of sovereignty. And I think it has planks of understanding the geography, the political. I've never been a part of a project where I'm working with the Fed, the state, tribes, Rasmussen, everybody's working together. And so it's pretty exciting to be involved with that. And I think the tribes have an amazing resource and credibility, right? One thing I have to explain to a lot of our vendors and consultants, right? They all want to talk about how much money we can make or how much money there is or how we're going to money. And I get it. The world runs on money and I'm very aware and keen to that. But the tribe's mission is not to make money. It's to serve its people. And so I think when this transformation of broadband from a commercial luxury product to a utility or a service, I think it's going to take all organizations working together, the carriers included, with the expertise and the decades of providing that service, and governments.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that now that the tribes are in the picture, it's sort of like a link in the chain that's necessary to lift everybody up.
Absolutely, especially in Alaska, where it's such a large percentage of the population, and given the fact the tribes are a government and have access to the people and have a voice both ways, right? Both to the people and to the other entities.
So in wrapping things up, any final thoughts?
Thank you very much for talking about this and reaching out. I think this stuff is transformative, once in a lifetime, once in a generation. And I think give us some time. It's going to take some time. I know everybody's very eager to see some results. And I think it's going to be like flipping on the light switch, but we got to lay a lot of stuff before we can hit that switch, but we are working very hard to it and spending a lot of time, energy, and money on that. And we have the support of the people who we need support from.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Chris Cropley, who is the architect of Tlingit and Haida's internet services broadband expansion efforts. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Rhonda.